morning.
Thanks, Pastor Dave and Connie, for asking me to speak this morning, I think. So when Pastor Dave asked me, I had a passage drop into my head right away, and I thought, well, I don't know how I'm going to do this. It's not really a traditional Mother's Day passage, but see what we can do with it. Happy Mother's Day to everybody, all the mothers, actually. The moms, the grandmas, the aunts, the want-to-be moms who aren't yet, those who have lost children who and never had any more. You are all still mothers. Aunts who haven't got children, or maybe you've just not married yet and haven't got any, and you want to be a mother. Happy Mother's Day to each one of you. Mm-hmm. To all of you who've lost children, that's very, very difficult. And actually, this is where I thought this passage was going, but that's not where it went. How many were blessed with a really great mom? Mm-hmm. Yeah. I know we just lost Keith's mom last year and a half. We really miss her. And it's great to still have her moms. I still have mine. Let's just pray for a moment first. Father, we come before you this morning with full hearts, thinking of our moms, those who have gone before, and those we still have. We thank you and we honor you for them. Being a mom is one of the hardest jobs, and you have graced women with that task. And we thank you for that. Father, be with us this morning as we hear your message. We ask you to be present with us this morning. That you would be here in the joy and the pain, the sorrows, the fun. We thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So I titled this message this morning, Treasures of the Heart, because of the passage that we're going to look at. How many of you, what do you remember as a mom? Like some of you still have young kids at home. How many of you moms remember the birth of your first child? Second child, however many you've had. Whether it was, how many remember the pain? Although scripture tells us we don't remember the pain because so we'll have more children. It leaves us because of the joy. However, we do remember the pain. We still have more children because we love the ones that get here. How many remember, let's see, what's your earliest memory? Just call it a couple things. Your earliest memory is something with your mom. Spanking, oh dear. Okay. Yeah. And did you know you were in trouble by how many names she called you? Your full name? Started at the top, went to the bottom if you were the last child, or added the dog in there, you knew you were really in trouble, right? When the dog's name got in the list. I remember times like that when she started at the top and went back to the top because she forgot which kid she was hollering at, but anyway. I was the firstborn. Firstborns don't get into much trouble. Yes, we do. Anyway. Yes, you teach the younger ones. How many remember when they're, if you're an oldest, remember the next sibling being born? I don't, because mine was born 11 months later. I don't remember when any of my siblings were born because I was only 4 when the fourth one came along, so we were very close together. Does anybody remember? You remember, Lori?
My sister, I remember riding down on my tricycle to the hospital at the Andover Hospital, and they held this baby up. I was so far away, I didn't know where it was. I would always say that story. But my sister, who's 3 years younger than me, says, well, I remember you being born.
She remembers you being born. Okay. All right. How many remember, what are the things you remember the most about your kids? Oh, he was good until he was four. Okay. Yeah.
How much they talked.
How much they talked. What else? What are the things that you remember the most? I asked my mom this the other day, and she said there was too many things to pick one thing. So I thought, okay.
When Paula was born, she was born with a dislocated hip. Yes.
Okay.
So we had to put her in a body cast from about 6 months on, and she was the perfect child. And then there was Lindy. And she cried from the day she was born for a long time. I remember sitting in the bathroom and her in front of me, and I'm thinking, I just want to flush you down the toilet. That was all food allergies.
And how many are going to be honest enough to say there are times they wish they could walk out the door and leave their children behind for a while? And I actually know, I have one uncle who raised five daughters because his wife actually did that. So, you know, some dads have mother hearts too. They keep their kids. And those kids are very much part of them. Anyway, the scripture we're going to look at this morning, and I told you it's kind of an unusual one for today. And it's the story of Mary and Joseph leaving Jerusalem after the Passover and losing Jesus. How do you lose the Son of God? Anyway, in Luke 2, starting at verse 41, if you have your Bible with you. Now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. And when he became 12, they went up there according to the custom of the feast. And as they were returning, after spending the full number of days, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem. But his parents were unaware of it, but supposed him to be in the caravan and went a day's journey, and they began looking for him among their relatives and acquaintances. When they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem looking for him. Then, after 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the teachers, both listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were amazed at his understanding and his answers. When they saw him, they were astonished, and his mother said to him, "Son, why have you treated us this way? Behold, your father and I have been anxiously looking for you." And he said to them, "Why is it that you were looking for me? Did you not know that I had to be in my father's house?" But they did not understand the statement which he had made to them. And he went down with them and came to Nazareth, and he continued in subjection to them. And his mother treasured all these things in her heart. And Jesus kept increasing in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men. And this is the second place in the first three chapters of Luke that it says Mary treasured some things. And the first was just before this, following the birth of Jesus, when the Magi came and all the things that surrounded his birth. Mary treasured those things in her heart. They were very important to her. She kept them close. So the word treasured, when I looked it up, it says to keep carefully a valuable or something, a valued item. It's something that's very highly valued, is a treasure. So we as moms and dads too value our children, so they're our treasures. We keep them close, we try to protect them, we love them, we look after them. The Cambridge Dictionary says that a treasure, valuable things, usually in the form of a store of precious metals, precious stones, money, art pieces. Sometimes treasures are hoarded. oftentimes recorded. Who remembers the Donald Duck comics and the little videos of Donald Duck? Do you remember Uncle Scrooge? It was not hard to tell what his treasure was because he swam in his gold. Like he, you know, sort of flipping around in his gold. His piles of gold were his treasure. He did not easily give it up. He hoarded it. His nephews tried every which way they could to get that gold out of his hand, and he was not giving his treasure up. In these days of Jesus, and for many, many years, there were no banks. Banks are fairly new things, so in the day of Jesus, and before that, and for many years after, people would bury their gold, their valuable possessions. They would be buried in the field somewhere so that they would not lose them. Try to remember where you buried them, because I move things and I can't find them after a while. So you bury your gold, keep it hidden. And in Matthew 13, 44, there's a little... Matthew 13:44. Let me try. I thought I marked it. I didn't. It says that I wrote that down wrong. Matthew 13:44. It says the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in the field, which a man found and hid again, and from joy over it, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. So in those days, you would bury your treasure, you own the land that you buried your treasure on, and anything that's buried on the land is yours. So if you just go into the field and found a treasure, and you take it, you're stealing. But this man found the treasure, put it back in the ground, sold everything he had, and went back and bought the field so that then everything in the field was his, and he got the treasure. And this is likened to the kingdom of heaven. Our treasures as people are the things that we have, maybe our jobs, our bank account, our children, our families. But Mary's greatest treasure was her memories of Jesus and his birth and those things surrounding him. What is my greatest treasure? Do I think it's just my kids or my family? Or is my treasure Jesus? He is the one who should be over all treasures. He is the most precious and valuable. Webster's Dictionary, I didn't write it down, I think I was going to bring my phone up. One of the definitions of a treasure said a person of value. And Jesus is the most valuable thing that we can have. Amen. There is nothing more valuable than Jesus. He left heaven to come to this earth and die on the cross for our sins. Making us valuable to him. I brought this song sheet up because, I mean, a lot of the songs this morning, I'm thinking, I wish I'd written some of the words down for this. We are valuable enough to God. He created us to have a relationship with him. And when his children kept walking away from him, he sent Jesus to die on the cross, his only son, so that we could walk away from our sin and be be clean before him and have fellowship with him. What better treasure is there than that? I fall way short on treasuring him the way I should. His death and resurrection, his blood, his going before us, making the way for us, makes us part of his family. That's another treasure. We're brothers and sisters here. Another treasure. And as time goes forward and we get closer to the end, the things that are going to be the most important is not the gold that we have in the bank, because we won't be able to use it, or even the food that we have stockpiled, because that might be taken away from us. But the only thing we can count on will be Jesus Christ. He knows your name, just like a mother who calls out your name when you're in trouble, or it's time for supper, or time for bed. He knows every hair on your head. The last song we sang, he sees each tear that falls. When your children are not walking where they should, or your grandchildren. No matter what your issue is, the tragedies that we walk in this life, the illnesses, he knows us and he's there. He sees it when you cry for a friend who's in the hospital, or a grandson who's been part of a terrible thing. Or the loss of a child, he knows. And he walks right beside you because he left his father behind. And he took all of the horrible things and the sin on himself so that we could walk freely with him and be in his family. So I know this is about Mother's Day, but our Father in heaven has a mother's heart. He calls you by name. He knows your name. He loves you as a mother loves her little children. He pulls you in and cradles you. He protects you. A mother, like a partridge or even a hen, when there's a fire, I've heard stories of forest firefighters finding a pile of feathers on the ground, and they give it a little kick. Turns out it was the mother hen or the mother partridge on top of her baby chicks. And the fire has gone through, and she has died, but her chicks are all alive. And our mother hearts will do the same thing for our kids. Our kids will call, Mom, can you come and, can you pray for, will you help? And we go. And it breaks our hearts when we see them going through stuff that we don't want them to go through. So we pray for them, and sometimes we can't be with them and cry with them, but sometimes we can. How much more does God have that heart for us? We never go wrong when we turn to Jesus for whatever we need. He already knows it. Sometimes we hear stories from our kids and they go, well, Mom didn't know that. Sometimes Mom did. Moms know a lot more than their kids think sometimes. How many of you hear your mom saying something and you go, like, she got eyes in the back of her head? And Mom will go, yep, I know exactly what you did. I know who was, who started the, wetter. We don't always, because sometimes we like to tell our kids, yes, we have ice in the back of our heads. Mary treasured the things that happened to her. And they weren't all good things. She was called out, and at first was pregnant without being married. She lost Jesus. I still kind of laugh at that. That's kind of where I thought this was going, but no. They were there at the Passover. They were a day's journey away before they realized they didn't have Jesus with them anymore. So they traveled in a big caravan because it's safer. And they get looking around for him because obviously it's supper time. It's time to eat, get to bed, and know Jesus. So it says that they anxiously looked for him. They went back to Jerusalem. It doesn't say that they waited a day. Maybe they went right away that night. We don't know. But it took 3 days to find him. So they searched anxiously was one of the, it was this, in the NASB, it's searched anxiously. And one, I think, just said searched. But I would be frantic. Has anyone here lost a child? Like just in a store? Can't find them for a time. Two of my kids went missing, one for 24 hours. We found her, it was always good. But I remember Stephen, Keith might not remember this, but when Stephen was about 5, I had been doing something in the house, and he was outside playing, and I went out to, I'm checking on him every little while, and all of a sudden I realize I don't see Stephen around anymore. So I go out to check, and I don't see him anywhere. Not in the workshop. He's not anywhere. And I start calling his name, and I can hear the panic in my voice after about the third holler for Stephen. And I thought, okay, get a grip. He didn't go out the laneway because you've been watching. No vehicles have been in and out. Nothing's been by on the road. Take a deep breath. Okay. John Deere's not here. He went with Keith. He has to have gone with Keith. That's where he is. He's gone with Keith. Sure enough, a while later they showed up. Stephen had gone with Keith on the tractor somewhere, and they didn't realize they hadn't told me that they had gone. And I said, don't, just let me know. I was just about ready to, I was ready to freak. But it was the panic I heard. And I hear they use this word anxious, and I'm thinking, she's telling Luke this quite a few years later. Anxious might not be quite the word. Is this 3 days? They searched for 3 days before he found them. I mean, Mary says, why did you do this to us? So we do sometimes lose our kids, and it's not fun. But Jesus knew where he was. Stephen told me one time, we had a talk one time about being lost, and I said, the GPS didn't take me where I was supposed to be. I knew where I was, but I wasn't where I was supposed to be. And Stephen said, that's the definition of being lost. And I said, no, the definition of being lost is you're not where you're supposed to be and you don't know where you are. I knew where I was. I just wasn't where I was supposed to be. Jesus knew where he was, and he was where he was supposed to be in his Father's house. Mary and Joseph did not know where he was. So for them, he was lost. But they searched until they found him, and we as mothers do the same thing. We search until we find our kids. There's many stories of moms whose kids have gone missing, and years and years and years and years later, they're still searching for their kids. As moms, we never let our kids go. Father God never lets his kids go. He always hangs on to us, and he keeps us safe in his care when we walk with him. So I'd encourage you as moms, as dads, whoever you are, if you don't know Jesus, peace in the storm. The rock that we can stand on no matter what happens. Turn to Jesus and ask him. If you're looking for him today, as Mary looked in the temple for him, you can find him here this morning. Just ask him, turn to him, wait for him to fill you with his spirit and his love, and he will. He won't leave you the same. If you're tired of who you are, he will absolutely prepare you for heaven to be with him forever, so that we can glorify God, that we can spend time with him, be with him, and then we're never lost again. I'm thankful for a grandmother. I remember seeing her Bible open beside her bed many times when we visited her, my dad's mother. And she prayed for her grandkids and her children. And not everyone comes, and I know that because of her 9 children, very few of them went to church, and fewer of their grandkids go to church out of 50 or 60 grandkids. I forget how many there are from 9 children. I don't know if a handful of her grandkids go to church. Let your mother's heart help your kids come to Jesus. I haven't done a great job myself showing my kids the way. I think back and I think, I could have done a lot of things different. But I know a lot more now than I did then. But I'm grateful that I still have my kids in my life. And we have grandkids. And we can teach them and talk to them. And love them. But the one who loves even better is our Father in heaven, his Son Jesus Christ, who died for each one of us and stands with his hand out waiting for us. Mary and Joseph found Jesus. And I hope you don't leave here today without finding Jesus. He is the most important treasure, the most important part of this world and our lives. And he will not turn away from you if you sincerely ask for him to come. The thief on the cross, all he did was say, I believe that you are the Son of God. He didn't preach sermons. He didn't sing songs. He didn't go on mission trips. He just said, I believe. And Jesus said, today you'll be in paradise with me. Don't go home today. You have this opportunity right now. And for those of you who are already walking with Jesus, let's turn more to him and make him more the treasure that he already is.
time with the Lord. It's easy to be distracted, and for moms, especially young moms, cooking, cleaning, diapers, repeat. Cooking, cleaning, laundry, diapers, repeat. And it just goes and goes and goes. And sometimes we just put other things when the kids grow up in the place of doing that. And that's easy. The hard part is giving Jesus the place he deserves. And then spending the time that we need. And I'm speaking to myself here. Now that I'm retired, I should be spending a lot more time than I am or could. It is a choice. But the most important one, start with asking Jesus to be Lord of your life, to be your Savior. That's the baseline, and we go from there. And I pray that each one of you, if you have not already found Jesus, that you will search for him. He will wait for you for a time. You will find him, and he will find you. Mary, his mother, treasured all the things in her heart, all the happenings, the birth happening, the hard parts of being called out by the angel to be told her to carry God's son, searching for him, trying to find him. May we treasure Jesus the same way and never let him go. Father, touch the hearts of everyone here this morning. With your presence, with your love, with your healing, with your peace. For those of us who have not yet found you, I ask that they would turn to you. And for those of us who have already turned to you, I praise you. Help us, Lord, to see the treasure in our heart. The treasure that you are. I thank you and I praise you, Father. Your son Jesus Christ, who is so willing to die for me, for everyone here, for the world, that all who seek him would find him. Father, we thank you. We praise you.